Okay. Okay. Good evening, everybody. Tonight's shiur is sponsored L'zecher Nishmas Rav Avram Aaron ben Rav Yaakov Moshe Zatzal, Ezra's grandfather. Thank you very much, and Neshama should have an aliyah. Tonight's shiur, getting ready for Chanukah, so I decided to discuss some inyanei Chanukah, specifically the mitzvah of Ner Ish u'Beisoy. That's the lashon of the Gemara. The Gemara says Ner Ish u'Beisoy, a candle per person and his household u'Beisoy, and we'll discuss a little bit what the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah is. It's very interesting because we don't often give the actual mitzvah from a halachic perspective, the actual mitzvah of Ner Chanukah. We don't always give it much thought. We know the mitzvah is to light the candles in the proper time. So I thought of a quip that usually a shiur is to take a difficult concept and to make it simple. Over here, it's almost like it's the opposite. It's to take something that seems simple and to make it complicated. So we're going to go through the mitzvah of Chanukah. And we're going to see that to put your finger to nail exactly what the chiyuv is very difficult. And we're going to see that the achronim struggle to get a handle on what exactly is the nature of the mitzvah of lighting the menorah, who is the obligation incumbent upon, and how do we fulfill the obligation. So it's very interesting to go through the sources and to see sort of like the ambiguity here and to appreciate the issues that why it's so difficult to wrap our heads around what exactly the mitzvah is. So let's start. Let's quote with the Rambam. The Rambam says in Hilchos Chanukah, Perek Dalet, Halacha Aleph, v'zeh l'shoinoi. So this is a quote from the Rambam. Kama neiros u'madlik b'chanukah? How many candles do you have to light? Does one have to light on Chanukah? So this is a quote from the Rambam. The Rambam answers his question. Mitzvasa shiyeh kol bayis u'bayis nadlik ner echad. The mitzvah is that every house should have one candle. Ben shehoyu anshei habayis merubin, whether there are many people in the household, ben sheloi hayavoy ela adam echad, or whether there's only one person living in the house, the halacha is one candle per household. No matter how many people are living under one roof, one candle. Now, as we all know, hamahadres ha-mitzvah, if you want to glorify the mitzvah, if you want to beautify the mitzvah, madlik neiros k'minyan anshei habayis, then you would light candles according to the number of people in the house. It's you and your wife. It's you and your wife and a kid. You and your wife and two kids. It's you and your parents and your kids. The dog doesn't count. You and your parents and your wife and your kids. You light one candle every night per member of the household. That's the second level. Hamhadras a mitzvah madlik neirois kiminyan anshei habayis ner lekol echad ben anoshim, whether it's for men or women. By the way, the Brisker Rav is medayik from the Rambam that the intent here is not the way we do it, not that every person lights his own candle, but the leader, whoever was lighting the one candle per household, now he would kindle candles corresponding to every member of the household. Not that every person lights his own menorah. The Brisker Rav is medayik that that's not our custom. Our custom is that we take this to mean that everybody lights his own menorah. But the Rambam actually doesn't say that. V'hamahadr yeser al zeh, the third level is v'oisa mitzvah min ha-mufchar, he's doing the mitzvah in the best ideal way. Madlik ner lekol echad v'yechad, b'layla harishoin, that every member of the family gets a candle, and you increase daily. The first night, one candle. Everybody, you have five people living in the house, five candles the next day, two candles per person, 10 candles the next day, three candles per person, 15 candles. So, and as I weiter, that every day you add another candle corresponding to the day, but each you're lighting a separate menorah per person. And again, the Brisker Rav is medayik that it's not the way we do it, that everybody lights his own menorah. the leader is lighting all of these menorahs corresponding to the members of his household. So it's very interesting that it's not entirely the way we do it. So in item Bays, I just summarized, we see from all of this that at the very least, there's a mitzvah to light one candle per household every single night, and then there's a mitzvah minamufkar to increase the amount of candles. So here's the chakira. So here's the question, the chakira. Two ways of analyzing this mitzvah. The basic mitzvah is that we light one candle per night, per household, even if there are many members under the one roof. So what's the idea that one person is lighting a candle and everybody is yotze with that? So here's the shaila. Is the gather of the mitzvah that really everybody should light their own candle, but one person could light the candle and be motzi everybody as if he's everybody's shliach? So just like you have that one person reads the Megillah, everybody listens to the Megillah, and we're all yotzi the Megillah with Shemaya Kaina. So when you light the candle, you're being motzi me, since I'm a member of your household. When you light the candle, it's as if I'm lighting the candle, because one person can do it on behalf of everyone, and you're like the agent, you're like the shliach, and you're doing it on behalf of everyone, not unlike reading the Megillah, laying the Torah in shul, any of the mitzvahs, the one who's being mezamin for benching. The way it used to be done was that one person would bench out loud, everybody would listen. So one person is benching on behalf of everyone, everyone is being yotze with his benching, one person blows the shofar, it's as if everybody blew the shofar. So is that what's happening here? That one person is lighting one candle and that exempts the entire household because it's as if everybody lit the candle. He's being moitzi everyone like a shliach, like an agent, because shliach shal avon kamaisai. Or perhaps it's not a shlichus. That is the mitzvah. The mitzvah is that there should only be one candle. So if you would ask, what's the nature of the mitzvah? The nature of the mitzvah is that a candle should be lit on behalf of the house. It doesn't have to be as if I lit the candle. You're not an agent. The entire nature of the mitzvah is that one candle should be lit in the house on behalf of the family. So the Sfas Emes takes it a little bit further. The Sfas Emes takes these two tzedim. He discusses this question and he explains it a little bit more robustly. He says like this, I quoted the Sfas Emes. Yesh la'ayin. We have to look into this. I ha mitzvah ner echad babayis k'may mezuzah. Let's say you have a family. So there's a mezuzah on the door. So the truth is, it doesn't even matter who put the mezuzah up. Very often, you move it into an apartment, you move into a house, and there's already a mezuzah on the house. So the owner of the house, when he moves in, there already is a mezuzah in the house. If the apartment was rented to a Jew, and then the Jew leaves, and then another Jew moves into the same apartment. So very often, the mezuzahs are still there. So you didn't even put up the mezuzah. The mezuzah was not even put up on your behalf. There's already a mezuzah there. The house is exempt, because there already is a mezuzah on the door of the house. So the Sfas Emes wants to say that perhaps Ner Chanukah is like a mezuzah. And we don't even have to question if the person who lit the candle had you in mind, or he's being moitzi you. It's a chiyuv on the bayis. It's an obligation on the house. So the Sfas Emes says, he wonders, is it that the mitzvah is on the house, like a mezuzah, or like ner Shabbos? Ner Shabbos, as long as the lights are on in the house, so you're mekayim the mitzvah of kavod Shabbos and oinik Shabbos, that as long as the lights are on, as long as the candles were lit in honor of Shabbos, so each and every person in the house doesn't have to somehow get a mitzvah of lighting the candles. It's an obligation on the house. The house should be lit. Kol shehidlik l'shem Shabbos, af shehidlik mishehu dai. That it doesn't matter who lit the candles. The mitzvah was fulfilled because the house is illuminated. That's one side. It's like a mezuzah. Or do we say that everybody has their own personal mitzvah, which we would say it's a chayvis gavra. It's just that the balabayas is moitzi everyone. When the balabayas lights the candle on behalf of his household, it's as if every single person is lighting, because he's a shliach, and he's being moitzi. So the Sfas Emes has a problem, because, and this is what I meant before, that you take a simple thing and make it complicated. The Sfas-Emes has a problem, because if the mitzvah is that everybody has to light, and we're simply saying that when one person lights on behalf of everyone, it's as if everyone lit, the same way we say that one person could read the Megillah and everybody could listen in to his reading, so asks the Sfas-Emes, Pshita, the kol mitzvah yochol ha'itzias chaveiroi. Then what's the chiddush? What's the novelty that ner ish ubeso, that you only have to light one minimal candle? What's the novelty in that? Every mitzvah is like that. Every mitzvah only has to be done. One person can do it, and everybody else can be yotzei on behalf. He can be moitzi everyone, and everyone else could be yotzei with the lighting of that person. Does it say anywhere in Shulchan Aruch that the mitzvah of Megillah is that every shul should have a Kriyas Megillah going on? No, because the obligation is that everybody has to read the Megillah and hear the Megillah. And that's obvious that one person can serve as a shliach, as an agent, and everybody can listen in and be yotze with Shemir Koyim. So either way you slice it, it's not simple to understand. If the obligation is that everybody has to light, it's a choyves gavra, and we're simply saying that when one person lights on behalf of everyone, it's as if everyone lit, as if one person makes kiddush, it's as if everyone made kiddush. So asks the Sfas-Emes, what's the chiddush? Then what's the novelty in that? Everybody knows that there's such a thing as shliach shel avam kamosa. And then in item hey, the Sfas-Emes asks on the other side also. And if we say that there's only one obligation on the house, that the house has to have a mezuzah, so to speak. The house has to have a menorah. There has to be a candle lit in the house. So then asks the Sfas-Emes, then how do we understand the next level, the second level and the third level of Mahadrin and Mahadrin min Mahadrin? How do we understand that all of a sudden everybody's lighting on their own and everybody's making their own bracha? If the obligation is to have one candle per house, like a mezuzah, so you can't do the mitzvah again and make another bracha. So imagine if I move into a house and there's a mezuzah on the doorpost already, but I always wanted to put up a mezuzah. Am I allowed to put up a second mezuzah next to the first one and make a bracha? No, the mitzvah is fulfilled already. Imagine if I move into a house and there already is a fence around the roof on the top story. In the old days, the roofs used to be flat. There's a mitzvah of makah to make a fence around the roof. We discussed that once. If there already is a fence around the roof, would I be allowed to make another fence just in order to make a bracha? Of course not. The mitzvah was fulfilled. The obligation was fulfilled. There's no obligation to make a fence if there already is a fence. If there already is a mezuzah, there's no obligation to put up another mezuzah. So how do we understand that after the father, the host, lights a menorah, then another person could light again and be yotzei again? How are we to understand that if the mitzvah is on the house? So just in short, either way you explain it, it's very hard to understand the mitzvah, because if the mitzvah is each person has their own obligation to light, it's a choyves gavra, so then obviously everybody has a mitzvah, and one person could light on behalf of everyone. We wouldn't refer to that as ner ish ubeso, because we always know that one person could make kiddush on behalf of everyone. And if we look at it as if there's one obligation on the house, similar to the mitzvah of mezuzah, then how do we understand, on the contrary, the second and third level, that everyone could branch off and light their own? So by the way, I alluded to it before, the Rambam is very good, because the Rambam says that there's a mitzvah on the bayis, one candle for the household, and when the Rambam talks about Mahadrin and Mahadrin min Mahadrin, he has the leader lighting all the menorahs. So he's just, no extra brachas are being made. He's simply embellishing the mitzvah by lighting a candle corresponding to every member in the household, or lighting a whole nother menorah corresponding to every member of the household. But the way we do it today, which is based on the minhag of the Ramah, that everybody lights their own menorah and makes their own bracha, so it's very hard to understand. If it's like a mezuzah, if it's a choyves bayis, how do we understand that every person has the right to opt out and make their own bracha, make their own mitzvah. You can't put up multiple mezuzahs on the door. And if the halacha is that it's everybody has their own obligation, then it's hard to understand what is this expression, ner ishu beso. Of course you only have to light one candle, because you can always be moitzi someone else with your mitzvah. Okay, so now, that's the chakir. So in short, there are two ways to understand the mitzvah. Is it a chovas gavra? Is there a personal obligation for each and every person to light? Or is it a chovas bias? Now, the Shulchan Aruch says like this, in item vav, the Shulchan Aruch says in Hilchos Chanukah, Tafresh Ayin Hey, writes the Shulchan Aruch, Sif Gimel, Im hadlika cheresh shoyta v'katan, if a minor or a cheresh, somebody who's not competently, he's not sentient, or a shaita, a deaf and dumb person, or a shaita, people that are not sentient, they don't have das, or a kata, a minor. Layasa klum. The halacha is that if a child lights the menorah on behalf of the adults, we are not yotze, because a katan can't be mitzi a gadol. Afo pisha hanicha gadol, even though the adult placed the menorah in the place, we paskin that the halacha is oisa mitzvah, we paskin that it's the actual kindling of the light, that's the fulfillment of the mitzvah. It has to be done by an adult. However, says the Shulchan Aruch, v'yesh mi sha'omer, and I highlighted it, yesh mi sha'omer, but there are those who say, b'katan shegia l'chinuch mutter, if the child reached the age of chinuch, he's over the age of 6 or 7, then the halacha is that he could exempt the household, a child could light. Now this is the sheet of the Balei Iter, that a child could light. What's the rationale? Because the entire mitzvah of Chanukah is derabbanan, and the child is obligated midrabbanan as well because of the mitzvah of chinuch. So therefore, the child's mitzvah derabbanan could be mitzi the gadol. A child who's obligated in derabbanan as well could also be mitzi the gadol. Now, the kasha is like this. The kasha is that in Hilchos Chanukah, the Shulchan Aruch brings both opinions. Some say a child could light on behalf of the adults, and some say that the child can't. Two opinions. Let's look what the Shulchan Aruch says in Hilchos Megillah. The Shulchan Aruch at Adam Zion writes, in Hilchos Kriyas Megillah, Tafresh Pei Tes, Halacha Beis, says the Shulchan Aruch, Im hoya hakoyre cheresh oy katan oy shoita, that if the reader of the Megillah was someone who is a cheresh, so obviously that's lav dafka. A cheresh means he's deaf and dumb, so he obviously can't be reading the Megillah. The Pesukim pointed out that it's lav dafka. But if the reader of the Megillah is a katan or a shaita, hashameh mimenu lo yotza, people who hear that kriya are not yotze. So the question is, why is it in Hilchos Megillah, the Shulchan Aruch paskins decisively that if a child reads the Megillah, the listeners, the audience, is not yotze? Why? Because the child's obligation is less than the adult's obligation. The adult is obligated in Kriyas Megillah midrabbanan. There's a mitzvah derabbanan to read the Megillah. The child, it's two derabbanans. In other words, he's two steps away. Because number one, the obligation to read the Megillah is only rabbinic in the first place. And second of all, a child is really exempt from all the mitzvahs. He's only chayiv in any mitzvah, derabbanan, because of chinuch. So it turns out that he's like two steps away. He's only chayiv in the mitzvah derabbanan because of a different mitzvah of chinuch. He's two derabbanans. He's two steps away. The adult has a primary obligation of reading the Megillah. So a child who's two steps away, his obligation is weaker than the adult's obligation. So therefore, the child can't be moitzi the adult in the Kriyas Megillah, even though the obligation to read Megillah is only rabbinic, but the child is only obligated in the Mikra Megillah because of chinuch. So his obligation is a lesser obligation than the adult's, so the child can't be moitzi the adult. So the Shulchan Aruch paskins decisively that a child could not exempt an adult in Kriyas Megillah. So why is it that when it comes to Ner Chanukah, the Shulchan Aruch seems to be unsure? The Shulchan Aruch says there are those who say that the child cannot light on behalf of the house, and there are those who say that the child could light on behalf of the house. What's the difference that when it comes to Megillah, the Shulchan Aruch is positive, that a child cannot be moitzi the adult. And when it comes to Ner Chanukah, the Shulchan Aruch entertains that a child would be allowed to light the candle on behalf of the adult. The Magen Avraham asks this question in item Ches. The Magen Avraham asks, Tzarechian, I don't understand what's going on. The Rav Beis Yosef Paskins in Tafresh Ayin Hay, like the Baal Ha'iter, that a child is allowed to light the candle on behalf of the adult. And over here, when it comes to Megillah, says the Magen Avraham, the Shulchan Aruch Paskins decisively that the child cannot read the Megillah on behalf of an adult. What's the difference? The Shulchan Aruch says, the Magen Avraham writes, Doichik l'chalik b'zeh b'megillah l'ner Chanukah. It's very difficult to find a distinction between the Megillah and the Ner Chanukah. They're both rabbinic mitzvahs. If you're telling me when it comes to a Megillah that the child's obligation is a lesser obligation than the adult, so he doesn't have it in him. He doesn't have it in him to exempt an adult. So why, when it comes to Chanukah, would there be a svara to say that he could exempt the adult?
Isn't there also a difference, the fact that there's a minion by Megillah?
That's a good question. So you're saying that it wouldn't be covered at Tzibur. That's a very interesting svara. So it might be not be covered at Tzibur. That's a very good point, Toby. But the Shulchan Aruch is saying, we paskin that Kriyas Megillah bismanoi doesn't require a minion. So when the Shulchan Aruch says that a child can't exempt the gadol, he means even if it's privately, even if it wouldn't be an issue of Kavod HaTzibur, the Shulchan Aruch is saying that if you listen to the child's Megillah, you're not Yotzi, you have to hear it again, period. Even if it was done privately, it wasn't embarrassing to the Tzibur. So what's the difference that when it comes to the Megillah, the child's obligation is lesser than that of the adult, and therefore he doesn't have it in him to be moitzi a gadol? And why is it by Megillah that the Shulchan Aruch entertains the possibility that the katan could light the Megillah, could light the menorah? Now, so good point. So my father just sent in that maybe one could make a chilek that Megillah is a stronger obligation because it's Medivri Kabbalah. That's a very good point. There's a whole question. We actually once discussed this. Remember we discussed this when we were discussing the topic of Chazaka Shliach Oysa Shlichusai. We discussed that when it comes to a Deraisa, you can't rely on the Shliach. You have to double check. When it comes to the Rabbanans, you can. So Reb Chaim Oizer, we discussed Reb Chaim Oizer, wonders if Shalach Manis, which is a mitzvah from the Divrei Kabbalah, if that has the status of a Derabanan or a Deraisa. So there would perhaps be a makam to be mechalik. That's a good svara. Maybe that's what the Magen Avraham means when he says that it's hard to find a difference. Maybe he's alluding to that. Okay, that's a great point. Now, there's another question here. A similar question. The Magen Avraham writes in Tafresh Ayin Tes, in Hilchos Chanukah, that this is item Tes. The Magen Avraham writes in Tafresh Ayin Tes that you're supposed to light the Ner Chanukah before you light the Shabbos candles. However, on Friday, if the man lit the Shabbos candles first, so it was a mistake. So even though he lit the Shabbos candles, he certainly doesn't mean to be Mekabel Shabbos because he still has to daven Mincha by and large. If a man is living alone at home, so he lights Shabbos candles, he usually gets into his car, he still drives to shul and he lights and he davens mincha. So he's not accepting upon himself Shabbos with the mere lighting of the Shabbos candles. There's a built-in condition that he doesn't mean to be Mekabel Shabbos right away. But a woman, when she lights Shabbos candles, the custom became like she accepts the Shabbos with the Shabbos candles. That's why she puts the match down before she makes the bracha. That's why she makes that's why she lights before she recites the bracha, because once she would recite the bracha, she wouldn't be able to light. The minhag became that a woman is Mekabel Shabbos with the lighting of the Shabbos candles. So says the Magen Avraham, imagine if a woman is living at home by herself and she mistakenly lit the Shabbos candles before she lit the menorah. So she was Mekabel Shabbos. So says the Magen Avraham, she's not allowed to light the menorah anymore, because she already was Mekabel Shabbos. It was an error, it was a mistake, but she can't light the menorah anymore. So the Magen Avraham says she should ask somebody else to light the menorah for her as a shliach, and she'll be yotze that way. So the Prima Gadim asks, the Prima Gadim there on the spot, asks, we have a klal, we have a rule, that anything that you can't do yourself, you don't have the authority to empower a shliach to do. That's the concept. So the Prima Gadim asks that how could the woman authorize a shliach to light the menorah if she's no longer allowed to light a menorah, right? So we have this concept in the Gemara that someone who can't take truma for whatever reason, if he's exempt, he doesn't have the authority to authorize someone else to take truma. We have these concepts in the Gemara that if someone can't, anything you can't do yourself, you can't authorize a shliach. That's the Prima Gadim's question. Now, the question is debatable because someone could argue that the woman technically has the authority to light Hanukkah candles. She is a bar hachay, she is a bar chiyuva. Technically she can't because she was Mekabel Shabbos already. So the question is debatable whether or not having accepted Shabbos would be considered that you're no longer authorized to light Shabbos, to light the Hanukkah candles. But that's the Prima Gadim's question. It's food for thought that if she already accepted Shabbos and for her it's Shabbos and she would no longer be allowed to light the menorah, how does she have the right to authorize someone else to light the menorah, and how can that be considered her hadlaka through shlichus, through agency, if she herself can't light the menorah? So that was the Prima Gadim's question. So the Chacham Tzvi was Rabbi Yaakov Emden's father. The Chacham Tzvi, in his Hoysafis Chadashis, Shelen Nuntes, so he wants to answer with both of these questions. The Magen Avraham's question, what's the difference between Hanukkah and the Megillah? Why is it that a katan cannot exempt an adult with the reading of the Megillah, but the Shulchan Aruch entertains that a katan could light on behalf of his adult family? Question number one. And the Chacham Tzvi also wants to answer, how could the woman authorize a shliach to light if she herself is no longer capable of lighting? So the Chacham Tzvi says the following svar, what we said before. The Chiyuv of Chanukah, says the Chacham Tzvi, this is an item Yud, so I quoted it. Kiven de lav akarkafta de gavra munach, muta. Since the Chiyuv is not a Chiyuv on the head of the person, like per capita, the Chiyuv is not a Chiyuv per person. Ela echot mikol b'nei habayis madlik bepesach achatzir. Anybody in the household can light on behalf of the household in the courtyard. V'shuv ein shum chiyuv al shum echot mikol b'nei habayis. And there's no longer an obligation on anyone in the household. Afo pi shloi shamu habracha. Even if you didn't hear the bracha. V'loi ro adlaka and you didn't hear the hadlaka. Right, if someone is lighting for you at home, technically you're exempt. But adifa minei omer Rabbi Zeira. Rabbi Zeira says in the Gemara, kiven de nesivna, because I'm married and I have my wife lighting for me back home, Rabbi Zeira was away learning in yeshiva, amina su loit tzarichna, I no longer have to light, the hakom madliki olai bego besoy, because someone is lighting for me, my wife is lighting for me back home. So the Chacham Tzvi quotes the Gemara in Maseches Shabbos that Achsenoi, if the husband is away for Hanukkah, he's away for Shabbos, away for Hanukkah, and he knows that his wife is lighting for him back home, the husband is exempt from lighting. So nowadays the minig is that we light anyway, but the person is exempt from lighting because it's a chiyuv on the bias, says the Chacham Tzvi. Someone's lighting for me at home. So says the Chacham Tzvi, that's why the Shulchan Aruch entertains that the katan that was higia l'chinuch, when he lights on the Pesach of the Chatzir, he could exempt the household. So the Chacham Tzvi is saying a tremendous idea. Kriyas Megillah, each and every person has to read or hear the Megillah. It's a chiyuv on the karkafta de gav. Every single person has to read or hear the Megillah. When the katan reads the Megillah, he's reading the Megillah on behalf of everyone else. He's exempting the tzibur. So then we apply the rule that because his obligation is a lesser obligation than those of the adults, his obligation is only an obligation through chinuch. The adult's obligation is a primary obligation because they're obligated to read the Megillah be'etzim, intrinsically. So the katan, he can't be moitzi the adult's obligation because his obligation is a lesser obligation than the adult's obligation. But when it comes to Ner Chanukah, says the Chacham Tzvi, it's not a chiyav on the karkafta de gavra. It's not an obligation per capita that each and every person has his own obligation to light the menorah. It's a chiyav on the bias. Let's take our analogy. It's like a mezuzah. It's an obligation on the house. As long as the house has a candle lit, the household is yotze. So says the Chacham Tzvi, for that, even though the minor is a lesser obligation than those of the adults, but his hadlaka has a shem hadlaka. It has the status of a mitzvah lighting. Maybe the katan's obligation is not as strong as the obligation of the adult, but the katan has a mitzvah because of chinuch. When he lights the Chanukah candles, it has the status of a Chanukah candle. So therefore, the household is yotze because the katan lit. If everybody has their own obligation to read the Megillah, so I have a strong obligation, and the katan has a lesser, a smaller obligation. So the smaller obligation can't exempt the greater obligation. But over here, each person doesn't have their own obligation. It's a chiyav on the house because it's an obligation on the bias. And the katan is, after all, he has a small obligation. Let's refer to it as a small obligation. He has a small obligation. So therefore, the katan's hadlaka is considered a hadlaka, and therefore the household was exempt. Now we're comparing it to mezuzah. Of course, a child can't put up the mezuzah on behalf of his family, because when it comes to a deraisa, the katan is not considered obligated at all. So it's not even, it'll be as if a monkey put up the mezuzah. It won't be considered that it was an obligatory fixing of the mezuzah. But when it comes to Chanukah, the mitzvah of Chanukah is only derabanan. So a monkey can't light the menorah. A monkey can't light the menorah because it wouldn't be considered a mitzvah hadlaka. But a child has an obligation of chinuch, so his lighting is a lighting, so therefore the house is exempt. That's the Chacham Tzvi's chilek. So this is a beautiful chilek based to explain the Shulchan Aruch, based on the tzad, that the chiyuv hadlaka is a chiyuv on the bias. Let's see another application of this concept, that the chiyuv hadlaka is a chiyuv on the bias. The Trumas HaDeshen writes in Simen Kuf Aleph, so we just mentioned this before, Reb Zeira in the Gemara used to say that when I was a guest in somebody else's house, I had to find a way to be yotze, so I used to partner with the host in his oil, I used to give him a pruta, buy a portion of the oil, and I would be yotze that way. Once I got married, and my wife is lighting for me back home, says Reb Zeira, I'm no longer obligated to light because my wife is lighting for me back home. Asks the Trumas HaDeshen, what if the guest wants to light? What if the guest wants, he doesn't want to be exempt with his wife's lighting back home. He wants to light himself. He's away for Shabbos. He had to go visit someone. Maybe he went to Eretz Yisrael for a simcha. His wife is lighting for him back home. He wants to light. He feels funny not going through Chanukah not lighting. He wants to light, but he knows his wife is lighting for him back home. So says the Trumas HaDeshen, this is an item Yud Aleph of the notes, Echad min ha-gedolim kosav, there are some gedolim that write, kiven the hadlaka be-beisoy poiteroisoy, since his wife's lighting, his wife's kindling at home exempts him, ein rashoy lahachmul hamlik ba'atzmoy. How can he light again? He's already yotze. When his wife lights, he's yotze. That's it. It's automatic. He can't light again because his wife lit already. Abul Asfarashniya Sovar, but there's another opinion, says the Trumas HaDeshen, and this is actually the opinion that the Trumas HaDeshen prefers, the Leigora Memahadrin, that it's not worse than the second and third level. Our minig is that even though the minimal requirement is to have one candle per household, but everyone is allowed to light on their own. And that's how we do it. We encourage Mahadrin Minamahadrin that everyone lights his own menorah. So the Trumas Hadeshin has a beautiful svara. Even if you'll say that when your wife lights for you back home and you're already exempt, so how can I light again if I'm already exempt? Well, says the Trumas Hadeshin, don't we always all light menorahs together when we're in the same house? Don't you light? Doesn't your son light? Doesn't your father light? Whoever's in the house, isn't it mahadrim and a mahadrin that everybody lights? So imagine if your wife is at home and she's lighting and you're technically exempt. Why can't I light another menorah anyway? If I would have been home, I would have lit a second menorah. Why can't I light another menorah now? So the Trumas Hadeshin says that would be a reason to say that you could light a menorah even though you're a guest somewhere else, and technically you're yotze with your wife's lighting, but why is it different than mahadrim min a mahadrim? We always light multiple menorahs. That's a Trumas Hadeshin svara in favor of lighting again. What does the first opinion hold? The first opinion says no. Once your wife lights for you back home, you cannot light a second menorah as a guest in somebody else's house because you're already yotze, it's automatic. But don't we always light multiple menorahs? So says the Trumas Hadeshin, the first opinion says, but that's not the mitzvah of mahadrin min mahadrin. The mitzvah of mahadrin min mahadrin is to have multiple menorahs in the same house. But if you're only having one menorah at home and you're somewhere else, so there's no mitzvah mahadrin min mahadrin to light a second menorah somewhere else. So if we take a step back and we want to understand what the Trumas Hadeshin is saying, the Trumas Hadeshin basically is saying that once your wife lights for you at home, you really cannot be yotze the mitzvah anywhere else. You already were exempt, and you really have no right to light another menorah and make a bracha because you're yotze already. The whole debate between the two gedolim that the Trumas Hadeshin quotes is simply, can we apply the mitzvah of mahadrin min hamahadrin in, can we apply the mitzvah of mahadrin min hamahadrin to light a second menorah on top of your wife's menorah back home? Can we apply and say that lighting a second menorah is a beautiful thing? Or do we say that that's not the intent of the Gemara? The intent of the Gemara was to have mahadrin min hamahadrin in the same house. That's the question. So the Trumas Hadeshin is clear that as far as the primary mitzvah is concerned, you are exempt. The question is, can you create a category of mahadrin min mahadrin to light a second menorah somewhere else? So here's the question. The question is, in item Yud Beis, the question is, Tzarech Iyun, what's the whole debate? Why can't I simply say that I hereby do not want to be yotze the mitzvah with my wife's hadlaka? I want to remain obligated, and I want to like myself. What's the whole issue? Why is it taken for granted that when your wife lights for you back home, you are exempt from the primary obligation? And the whole debate becomes, can you create a category of mahadrin min mahadrin to light a second menorah someplace else? Why can't I simply remain obligated in the primary mitzvah by declaring that I do not want to be yotze with my wife's mitzvah? So this,
because once she lights the house, the mitzvah attaches to the house.
Exactly. Excellent. That's exactly what we want to say. So let's go back to the original Chakira, the Sfas Emes's Chakira, and we'll say exactly what you just said. The Sfas Emes had a Chakira. Is it the pshat that the person lighting the candle at home is a shliach for everybody else, and his lighting is as if everybody else lit? Or do we look at it like a mezuzah, that it's a mitzvah on the bias? So, if you look at it that the person lighting at home, in this case, my wife lighting at home, will be like my shliach, and that exempts me, then the question is correct. Why can't I simply opt that I don't want my wife's lighting to exempt me, and I should be able to retain the primary mitzvah to be able to light wherever else I want? Why do I have to file for mahadrin min mahadrin? Why can't I simply remain obligated in my primary mitzvah? But if it's the second tzad, like you just said, Reb Ezra, that it's a chiyuv on the bias, because it's like a mezuzah, it's like a chiyuv on the bias, So since my Iker Dira, since my main, I'm away for Shabbos, whatever, but since my main house is back home and my wife already lit by the doorway of my house, so I'm exempt because of the din on the bias. So then it would seem from the Trumas HaDeshen that you, it's automatic. The person lighting at home is not your shliach. You can't opt out. It's a fulfillment. The obligation was done, period. When the person lights at home, whether you were home or not, the obligation was fulfilled and you're no longer obligated. So you can't opt out. You can't say, I don't want to fulfill the obligation with that kindling, because it's not up to you. She's not your shliach. The person lighting back home is not your agent. The person back home simply fulfilled the obligation by lighting the candle in the house. That's why the whole debate of the Trumas HaDeshen is simply, is there a category of mahadrin min mahadrin to light a second menorah if you're lighting somewhere else? But as far as the primary obligation is concerned, that was fulfilled mamanafshach because it's a din on the bias. That would be the chakir. So far, we have the Chacham Tzvi. Let's back up. We have the Sfas Emes. The Sfas Emes leaves this as an open question. Is it a chiyuv on each and every person, and the person who's lighting is exempting everybody else? Or is it a chiyuv on the bias? It's the chiyuv like a mezuzah. And therefore, when you light the candle in the house, everybody is automatically in a state of fulfillment, and it's not up to you. That's the chakira of the Sfas Emes. We apply this chakira in two, we use this chakira in two applications. Why is it that when it comes to Megillah, the halacha is that a child cannot exempt the audience, the adults? And when it comes to Chanukah, the Shulchan Aruch entertains that the child should be able to exempt the other adult members of the household. So we explained it with this tzad of the chakira. If it's a chiyuv on the bias, if it's an obligation on the house, similar to mezuzah, so since the child is obligated, at least minimally, in the mitzvah of hadlaka, so his lighting counts as a hadlaka, so the house was exempt. So therefore the Shulchan Aruch entertains that even a child could exempt, because it's not a personal obligation. It's something that the house needs. The house needs a roof, a wall, a fence around the roof. The house needs a mezuzah. The house needs a hadlaka. The house got the hadlaka. A child lit. Everyone's exempt. The second application is, it explains the Trumas HaDeshen. That's why the Trumas HaDeshen never entertains that you can simply opt out and say you don't want to fulfill your obligation with the hadlaka that's going on back home. Because it's a mitzvah on the house. Automatically, you're in a state of fulfillment. The only question is, can you light a second menorah filing for the Mahadrin category if it's not exactly what the Gemara had in mind? The Gemara had in mind two menorahs in the same house. You want to light your own menorah in a different house. Can you create a category of Mahadrin when it's not exactly like the Gemara said? That's the old question. But the primary obligation was fulfilled. Okay. Now in item Yud Dalid, so in item Yud Gimel, actually, I should say, that we have to be magdur this. We can't simply say that it's an obligation on the house. And we cannot, the analogy to mezuzah is an analogy, but it's not a perfect analogy. We cannot simply compare the menorah to a mezuzah. And I'll tell you why. Because the a chayvus bias, imagine if you don't have a house, or imagine if you're not living in your house. You're not chayv in mezuzah. You're only chayv in mezuzah if you're living in your house. So here's the question. If the entire obligation of Chanukah is an obligation on the house, so then in item Yud Gimel, why is an achsenoi, why is a guest who's not home at all, he's somewhere else, why is he obligated in Ner Chanukah altogether? And how could he fulfill his Ner Chanukah in the house that he's staying altogether? Imagine if I'm staying in somebody else's house. I'm not obligated in mezuzah because I'm not there bikeva. I'm not there bikvias. So I shouldn't be obligated at all. Let's say I don't have a house. I shouldn't be obligated at all. Why is a guest obligated in Ner Chanukah at all? If we look at it like it's completely a mitzvah on the house, the house that you're living in. So then why would a guest who's not living at home, why would he be obligated at all? And if you consider him as a member of the household where he's staying temporarily, then why can't he automatically be fulfilling his obligation with the hadlaka of that host family? Why does he have to partner and buy some of the oil? So if the person is homeless, if he's a guest in somebody's house, why does he have to partner in the oil? Why isn't he automatically fulfilling his obligation with that hadlaka? And if you look at it like it's not his house, so then he shouldn't be obligated at all. So the question is, we can't simply compare the Ner Chanukah to a mezuzah, because if you compare it to a mezuzah, why am I obligated to light at all if I'm a guest in somebody's house and I'm not in my own house? So we have to say the following. We have to make a combination of the two tzedakim. This is my theory, and I found it that Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach says the same thing. In item Yud Dalid, so I'm attempting to identify what the nature of the obligation is. The chiyuv is on the karkaf to the gav. Really, the obligation is a personal obligation, but the kiyuv, the fulfillment, is on the pesach of the bayis. In other words, it's a mixture. It's not a personal obligation that everybody has to light their own menorah. Everybody has a personal obligation to see to it that there was a menorah lit in the house. The way to fulfill the mitzvah is by having a ner lit in the house. But it's a personal obligation that each and every person has. It's an obligation to see to it that there's a ner in the house. So it's a combination of the two. When your wife lights for you back home, even though you have a personal obligation, but your obligation was automatically fulfilled because the way to fulfill the obligation is that the ner was lit by the house. You're fulfilled. You can't opt out, like the Trumas Hadeshin says. The only way to light another menorah is if you can consider that in the category of mahadrin. It's not a shlichus. She's not your agent. It happens automatically because it's a fulfillment of the mitzvah. If you're a guest in somebody else's house, so you have a personal obligation to light, you have to see to it that you light. The only way for you to fulfill your obligation is to light al Pesach Pesach. So therefore you have to buy in to the host's oil, and then you'll be considered a member of this house and you can fulfill your mitzvah by lighting by the candle that was lit on the Pesach of the Bais. So it turns out that it's a combination of both. Let me quote for you the Mincha Shlomo Tinyana. This is from a Shlomo Zalman Arbach Tzatzal in Item Tesvav. Simen Munches Mili de Chanukah. He says like this in Ois Gimel. Behine, he says, behold, even though Chazal established the menorah as an obligation on the house, but there's also an element of a personal obligation. It's not just as if there's an obligation on the house. You move into a house and there's already a mezuzah there, you don't have to put up a second mezuzah. It's more than that. If you would move into a house and there's already a candle lit there, you would have to see to it that you light another candle. It's a personal obligation that's fulfilled by having a candle for the house. He says you can't compare it exactly to a mezuzah. If a complete stranger puts the mezuzah up on the house, then everybody is exempt automatically. You can't compare the Chanukah to that. And even if somebody who's not even a member of the household light puts up a mezuzah, and he's not even a shliach of the Baal HaBayis, nevertheless, the members of the household fulfill their obligation with mezuzah because the house has a mezuzah. But if it would come to Ner Chanukah, if someone else, a complete stranger, would come in and light the Ner Chanukah in your house, you would not fulfill your obligation unless you appoint him as a shliach. That's nothing, because the Chachamim did create a Chayvus Gavra. The Chachamim did create an obligation for you to light them and to light the menorah. It's just that the way you fulfill the obligation is by having the candle lit in the house. And therefore, it's a combination of both svaras, and we can say that your obligation is automatically fulfilled by the fact that the house has a candle burning in that house. That it's a combination of the two. Now, Rav Shlomo Zalman gives a great example. Eruv Tafshilin. Eruv Tafshilin is another mitzvah like this, where it's not clear exactly the nature of Erev Tashlumin. What happens Erev Tashlumin? Whenever Yom Tov falls out on a Friday, you want to be allowed to cook on Yom Tov for Shabbos. So there's a mitzvah the Rabbanan of Erev Tashlumin. So usually it's the man of the house puts together an Erev Tashlumin. He puts together the cooked food and the matzah, and he makes the declaration, and he makes an Erev Tashlumin. Everybody in the house, all the your wife, the children, everybody's allowed to cook. Nobody else made an Erev Tashlumin. The house has an Erev Tashlumin. What happens if somebody else says, I want to make my own Erev Tashlumin? Rav Shlomo Zalman feels that once the host, once the man of the house or the woman of the house made the Erev Tashlumin, every member of the household can't make their own Erev Tashlumin. It would be a bracha lebatala because the mitzvah was fulfilled. It's not that the father was the shliach on behalf of the family. It's one mitzvah per house, and you're yoytze automatically. So it's a similar scenario. Everybody has an obligation to see to it that you have an Erev Tashlumin covering you, because you can't cook on Yom Tov for Shabbos without an Erev Tashlumin. But it's one Erev Tashlumin per household. It's a combination. You can't opt out and say, I want to make my own Erev Tashlumin. Once the Erev Tashlumin was made, you're fulfilled. That's it. You can't make another one. The Ner Chanukah is a similar idea. Everybody has an obligation to see to it that the Ner Chanukah was lit on behalf of the house. But once one person lights it on behalf of the household, everybody was fulfilling their primary mitzvah. Nowadays, the minig is mahadrin mina mahadrin. So we all light. That's because we're filing for the second and the third category of embellishing the mitzvah. But the primary mitzvah were yoitza, regardless, because it's a mitzvah that's fulfilled on the house. Now, the Paiskim discuss in item Tes Zayin, do you really have to have a house to be able to light the mitzvah of Hadlaka? So the whole time we were discussing, we were assuming that you have to have a house. That's the way Ner Ishu Beisoy, the Rambam says, every house has to have a candle. So that Rav Shlomo Zalman actually discusses and goes back and forth. What if the person's a homeless person, he doesn't have a house? What if a person lives in a little cubicle that's less than 4 amos by 4 amos? We know that a house that's less than 4 amos by 4 amos is exempt from a mezuzah. Comparing the Ner Chanukah to a mezuzah, we know it's not considered a house. We know that anything less than 4 amos by 4 amos is not obligated in a makah, in a fence around the roof, even though it's the same hazard, but it's not a house. It's not obligated in a makah. There are many halachas that require a house. A house has to be a minimum of 4 amos by 4 amos. So imagine if a person was assigned a little quarters. He lives in a little cell that's less than 4 amos by 4 amos. It's less than 8 by 8 feet. It's not such a small, but it's less than 64 square feet, let's say. It's 40 square feet. So he can live there, but it's not 4 amos by 4 amos. Can he fulfill the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah? What if a person is living? That's a good question. So Erev Tashlumin, so everyone should make their own Erev Tashlumin. They shouldn't rely on the Rav's Erev Tashlumin. The Gemara discusses if the person forgets more than once. If you ask the Rav specifically to make it for you, then that counts as your shliach, and that's okay. But just to rely as a matter of course on the Rav, so you shouldn't do that. You should make your own. So back to Ner Chanukah, what if the person doesn't have something that technically is defined as a house, qualifies to be a house? It's less than 4 amos by 4 amos. What if a person lives in an open area where he doesn't have, what if a person doesn't have a roof over the house? He doesn't have a house with a roof. So there's a debate in the Poskim if he has to light a mezuzah, if he has to light a Ner Chanukah. In item Yud Zayin, so I brought a Taisvis in Sukkah. The Gemara in Sukkah says that there's a special mitzvah that if you see a Ner Chanukah, if you're not planning on lighting a Ner Chanukah at home, if you see a Ner Chanukah, and for whatever reason you will not be lighting at home, for whatever reason, and your wife is not lighting for you, there's a special takana of a Birkas Haroya. If you see a Ner Chanukah, you can at least make the Alanisim, and you can make the Shechiyonu for the Chanukah, and you can make the Alanisim. You can't say Lahavlik Ner Shel Chanukah because you're not lighting. But there's a Birkas Haroya. So Tosfos asks, we don't find this kind of bracha anywhere else. If I see you shaking a lulav, I don't recite a bracha. But if I see you lighting a ner Chanukah, I can recite a bracha. What's the pshat? So Tosfos says, because since you have people that are not homeless people, people don't always have a house, and they can't fulfill the mitzvah of ner Chanukah. So we wanted to give them a bracha. So therefore, at least for those people, if they see somebody else lighting a menorah, they can make a bracha also, the Birkas Hamroim. But Tosfos asks, we don't find such a bracha by mezuzah. If you see a mezuzah on somebody's doorway, you might not have a house yourself. You might miss out on this mitzvah. You might not be able to fulfill this mitzvah. We don't find that there's a takana of a Birkas Haroya for the mitzvah of mezuzah. So on the one hand, Tosfos seems to equate the Ner Chanukah to a mezuzah, just like you can't possibly fulfill the mitzvah of mezuzah if you don't live in what qualifies as a house. So too, Tosfos seems to be saying that you can't be Yoytze Ner Chanukah if you're not living in what qualifies as a house. There's a Rashi in Maseches Shabbos that I quoted here in Item Yud Zayin, that if the person is in a boat, and the Poskim say it doesn't mean a cruise line, where you have your own cabin, the cabin might be nicer than your house at home. But, yeah, so that's a good question. Bedikas chametz, someone was asking about bedikas chametz. So bedikas chametz is, you can't have chametz in your possession, so you would be obligated, you wouldn't recite a bracha, but you would be obligated to make sure you don't have chametz on your person or in whatever is considered your domain, even a borrowed domain, even if it's less than 4 amos by 4 amos. That's a very good point. But when it comes to Ner Chanukah, there's a debate here. Tosfos seems to equate it to a house, to a mezuzah. And Rashi says that there's a scenario, someone's traveling in a boat, he's not going to be able to light. So the Poskim debate, what does Rashi mean? Why is the person not able to light just because he's in a boat? So Rav Moshe Feinstein says, because you need a house. You can only fulfill the mitzvah Ner Ishu Besoy by a house. And therefore, if the person's in an open boat, he's not in a cruise liner where his cabin might be nicer than his house back at home. He's in a rowboat. If he's in a rowboat, that's not a house. It's not fit for dwelling. And therefore, Rav Moshe says he wouldn't be able to light the menorah. This is very consistent with what we've been saying all along, that it's a personal obligation to light the menorah, but the fulfillment is for the kiyum of the mitzvah is by having the ner by the Pesach Beisa. Just to mention that we once discussed this a few years ago, that there's a completely different line of thinking here in other poiskim. The Bach writes, and there's a Rabbeinu David in Maseches Pesachim, that it's actually a personal obligation to light, and you could fulfill the mitzvah even if the person is homeless, the person sitting in an airport, he would fulfill the mitzvah by lighting a menorah. But that's not the majority. The mainstream opinion is that you have to be able to light by a house. So the way we've been learning, it's a chakira. Is it a personal obligation or is it a mitzvah on the house? And we're concluding here that it's somewhere in the middle. It's a personal obligation, but the obligation can only be fulfilled through lighting it in your house. So it's a little bit like a mezuzah, but on the other hand, it's a little bit not like a mezuzah. It's a little bit like a personal obligation. We should all have a freilich chanukah haba aleinu l'toiva, and we should be zeicha taka to the binyan beis hamikdash when we can see the true menorah, and we should be able to offer the karbanis b'mher v'yameinu. Amen.
Amen. Shkoyach.
Shkoyach.
So, there's a question on the